Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know us and you love us. Open our eyes and our hearts and our minds and our ears to learn more about you today so that we can love you as you love us. Amen. I have a question for you. Are you lonely? Maybe that's a bold question to ask on a Sunday morning, and I'm not bold enough to ask you to put up your hands if you are. But I ask because it seems from reports that a lot of us are a bit lonely, and maybe more than people used to be. Lots of reasons have been suggested for why we feel a lack of connection with those around us. We're too busy, we're too online, we live far away from our family. Our relationships have broken down, or we've lost the knack of having real conversations with our partners or our friends. Whatever the reason, many of us live with an unsettling sense that we are not fully known. If you are lonely, even a little bit, Jesus' words today are for you. And for all of us, lonely or not, these words from Jesus go to the very heart of his message and ministry. In them, we see ourselves through his eyes. We have insight into why he left his father's side in heaven to be born as a baby. And we begin to understand the lengths that Jesus would go to for us. The very heart of this passage can be found in verses 14 and 15, when Jesus says, "I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." Let's stop for a minute and try and wrap our heads around what Jesus is saying here. What started off as a simple comparison drawn from the ordinary life of the community, a shepherd and their sheep, becomes a profound, mysterious, and overwhelming statement about the relationship between God and us in Jesus. We start with an image of sheep left unprotected in the face of an attack by wolves. The hired hand cares more for his own safety than for the vulnerable sheep that he's been paid to protect. And why does he refuse to protect them? Well, it's because he does not love them. He doesn't care for his sheep. I think we're probably all familiar with relationships that are limited, transactional or fallible in the way that the hired hand's relationship was with his sheep. Maybe we don't even think it's fair or reasonable to ask for more. And I'm not sure that I really judge the hired hand for saving himself, not the sheep, from wolf attack. Why should he risk death to protect another person's sheep? He's not paid enough for that. If the sheep are attacked and killed, he might lose his job, but at least he's still alive and can find something else. The pragmatic response of the hired hand feels very now. It feels at the moment that we're all being encouraged to define the limits to what we owe to others and what others owe to us. When my mum was young, she and her friends would take it in turns to go to each other's houses and help with spring cleaning. I wouldn't dream of asking anyone here today to do that for me. I followed a debate on Twitter a while ago about a feature article in The Telegraph, and it stuck with me. A woman wrote a piece about how she ended her relationship with her fiancé when he was diagnosed with a terminal brain tumour. What do you make of that decision? Well, on Twitter at least, her actions were applauded as a sensible step to protect herself, at least as frequently as she was condemned for not staying with him until the end. That may be an extreme example, but it is part of a general conversation that we're all having about boundaries and fairness, about the limits of what we can expect from and what we owe to one another. And that's what makes the contrast Jesus is drawing more profound. The contrast between the hired hand who leaves and the good shepherd who stays, whatever the cost. The shepherd who sets no limits or boundaries on what he will do for his sheep. I know that many of us are very familiar with the idea of Jesus as the good shepherd. Many people who know nothing else about Jesus might have a picture of him as the good shepherd. But if we take a moment to think about Jesus' words, they are actually quite extraordinary. Jesus says he's the good shepherd, and as the good shepherd, he's willing to lay down his life for his sheep. That is his definition of a good shepherd. I wonder how many of the shepherds guiding their flocks over the hills of Judea would have recognized or welcomed that definition. It does seem an extraordinary thing for a person to die for the sake of sheep. Fight for them? Well, yes. The sheep are a valuable resource for the family, and anyway, we'd hate to see them get hurt. But actually to die for them, surely that is too much for a shepherd to do for sheep. What Jesus was saying here would have come as a shock even to the people he was speaking to. They had been taught through Hebrew scripture to think of God as the good shepherd of his people. He shepherded them out of Egypt and led them through the wilderness, providing them with food and water and protection, just like a real shepherd, until he led them into the promised land. And there he made them lie down in green pastures and by the still waters of the Sea of Galilee and restore their souls. Now Jesus was saying he too was this good shepherd. He too was God. And this time he would lay down his life for them. The shepherd dying for his sheep, God dying for his people. And he goes on to say that this act of deliberate, voluntary laying down of his life and then taking it up again, this is what transforms the relationship of us from sheep to brothers and sisters. It all sounds too much, too far beyond what the shepherd owes his sheep and too far beyond what God owes to his people. This could all be overblown rhetoric, except we're in the Easter season and are celebrating the historical moment when Jesus did lay down his life, when he refused to escape from mortal danger, and he chose to accept death on our behalf. And then he took his life back up on the third day when he rose from the dead. So, just as we know that he was speaking the truth when he said that the good shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep, we can also know that it's true when he says, "I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." If this is what Jesus was willing to die for, we need to know what it means. How does God the Father know Jesus? Let's break it down into things that we can understand from the scriptures. God the Father knows Jesus by name. He knows him in utter love and wisdom, with joy and delight, with complete understanding, as no one else does. And with a desire for them to share completely in their knowledge and in their purpose, and in line with who the Father is and who Jesus is. And Jesus, how does he know the Father? Well, in the same way. He knows him by name, in utter love and wisdom, with joy and delight, with complete understanding, as no one else does, with a desire for them to share completely in their knowledge and purpose. And in the Gospels, we get to see how Jesus knows and loves the Father in practice. You can see Jesus' relationship with God the Father worked out most clearly, I think, in the final night of his life. We see him listening to the Father in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his perfect obedience to the will of the Father in his decision to lay down his life. And in return, you can see the Father's relationship with Jesus at his baptism. "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased." Jesus is telling us how we, if we are his own, might know him and be known by him. This is what we're being called into. This being known is what we experience fully right now. When we pray to a God who already knows all that is on our minds and our hearts without us saying, but loves us to trust him with our prayers. We are fully known by a God who loves us and who works in all things for our good. Our knowing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a little bit different. It's something we're being called into, something that will only be fully realized when we're united with God in the new heaven and the new earth. But it starts here, where our discipleship, our prayer, our worship, our reading of scripture, our service, it's where all of those things are taking us. As we imitate Jesus in his life of worship, obedience, and service, we become more like him and we know him more fully. Each step of discipleship we take in the power of the Spirit takes us deeper and deeper into the relationship of knowledge and love and trust in Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Benjamin took his first step today in baptism. What is the next step that you will take to move deeper into your knowledge and love of Jesus? Think about the relationship between God the Father and Jesus. The joy and delight, the wisdom and love, the knowing and being known. How does it make you feel to know that you can be known and know Jesus like this? Knowing and being known, isn't it what we long for? But it can also be frightening, intimidating, a bit exposing. Don't let that fear hold you back. If you don't yet know Jesus as your good shepherd, you may be scared to be honest about yourself before God. But remember, you are already fully known by him, and he is still calling you to follow. If you want to follow Jesus, to know him just as he knows you, all you need to do is pray. There are people here today who'd be happy to pray with you, either during our next hymn or in communion or at the end of the service. We might let one another down, and our human relationships may sometimes leave us a bit lonely. But we saw at Easter the lengths that Jesus was willing to go so that we could know him as he knows the Father. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, sets no limits on his relationship with us. He has held nothing back. Then there are no boundaries or limits to his love. It was while we were yet sinners that he laid down his life for us. And he did it to break down the barriers between us and God. He did it to draw us into this life of knowing and being known by God himself, a place where we will never feel alone, not just in this life, but for the limitless time of eternity. Amen. Heavenly Father, help us to be open to your call on our lives, to be open to knowing you as fully as we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And as we sing our stand and sing that,